Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your many gifts. Help us to know and to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. We had the emergency military communication drill last weekend. Nothing happened. I trust all is well with you, and no emergency situations occurred in your life. So speaking of the military, I am thankful that the veterans of our military have made a strong military in our country. And now in our world, there are people who did have various sufferings recently, and natural disaster events did go on. I noticed that in Argentina, 2 weeks ago, one town had 3 inches of rain in 15 minutes. And another town in Argentina had 3 feet of hail in 15 minutes. And in the French Alps, they're having numerous earthquakes in the fives and sixes. Here in California, a few weeks ago, we had fires, but it seems as though our fire situation is generally good. Yes, there are still 38 active volcanoes in the world, and there are a few people who are concerned about volcanoes, and including the one on the Canary Islands, kind of off the coast of Africa, kind of. And they're concerned because it could cause a tsunami with at a 50-foot tsunami wave hitting our east coast. Well, it's just one of those things. We have sinkholes continuing around the world, and in the midst of these going-ons, I want to give thanks for all the blessings that we do have, because we are avoiding so many troubles here, right in our very own neighborhood. So we do have different possibilities of things that are going to go on. But here and now, we want to have the thankfulness in our heart for all the things that we do have that are good and wonderful. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. Well, do you remember that retired newsman, Ted Koppel? He wrote a book called Lights Out, and that was about the possibility of a grid-down situation. As he researched the possibilities of no electricity, he decided it was time to act. And he brought a lot of food for himself and for his adult children. And then he wrote that book, Lights Out. Food, water, all sorts of preparations are good, but do not neglect the concept of being a community. To have mutual support is really a very important part of making it through any difficulty. And remember Jesus' commandment to love one another as I have loved you. Let's then read some more. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So I say, yes, be of good cheer, and get an eternity with God. Yes, we have a heavenly eternity, and we do want to be responsible for ourselves in this life. We want to read the Bible, and it is important. And since it is important, let's read it. Read it yourself. Last week, I mentioned that we are entering a time of uncertainty, or a season of uncertainty, and indeed, I do think we are. And then a few days ago, I ran into a relatively short explanation of why we were entering into the last 7 years. And it started this month in November. So it's a very, very interesting thing. It's not that we know that, but I sure like to look at what people reason and how they come up to a conclusion of this or being or not being anything. So it is very interesting that we're, by these people, we are in the last 7 years. And if you're eager to examine this for yourself, look at the YouTube program titled The End Is Nigh. It was published October 3rd, 2017. Well, I liked what they said because they had good reasoning. They had good information, and the way they examined it was reasonable. There have been different times that I have, on my own, looked at what these things could indicate. When are the times of the end? And so I could see that these people had done a lot of work, and it was good work. So I was impressed by how well that they did and how they examined things. Now, I don't mean that I can say that I am promoting that idea or agreeing with it to completely, but I would say that it sure is an interesting study, and certainly they may be right. We might be in the last 7 years, just maybe. And if we are, you know what I say. Think about your preparations. Yeah. So, do consider what the possibilities are, whether it is correct or not correct. It is still a matter for us to consider. Are we in the last days? Yeah. Is this the last 7 years? Well, we'll see. So, I know that one of the scriptures I always look at, and it just gets me. Ezekiel 33:3. It causes intense stirring in my heart because it talks about the watchman blowing the trumpet. And it really affects my insides because when I read that, I think that there's a certain urgency about what is going on. So I think about it. Ezekiel 33:3-4. When he, the watchman, sees the sword coming upon the land, and he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. So that's one of those scriptures that just kind of get me. And so it does make me wonder, what is coming? What kind of things will we see? Well, there's so many possibilities. I know there was the former CIA director, James Woolsey. He said the United States is vulnerable to an EMP attack. So if that's true, how can we be responsible? How can we be responsible to ourselves and our family and others? Well, we do always have to remember that we are a community. We are a Christian community. And so, when we think about being responsible, we have to think about other people. That's what we want to do. We don't want to expect them or the government to help us because they don't always do what you expect. There's a big variation in what they are willing and able to do. So, look out for yourself. Watch out for your expectations, because, well, you don't want to be disappointed, especially in a dire situation. So be careful. Look at the possibilities, and then examine it closely. Watch out for if you intend to bug out. That's another one, because if you bug out, you are really away from your supplies for a while. And the roads might be closed or impassable. There could be accidents which close the road. And you better hope that accident is not one of those hazardous accident sites, because then the road could be closed for a very long time. Did you know that if there is an accident site that has anything at all nuclear, even if it's medical nuclear, the accident site is no longer under the jurisdiction of local or state authorities. No, it is under a certain conglomerate of jurisdiction. It is called the fusion center. Every state has one, and then they take over that site. And it's just something, you know, consider it. Consider the various possibilities, because if it passes out of local and out of state jurisdiction, it just changes. So, our economy is still a big concern. We're looking at our federal government, and I saw that there was a certain average wage earnings in the United States. And when I've talked with people about what the federal wages are, well, they just laugh when they find out what they're talking about, because the difference is so great between what our federal government says the average income is and what people are really actually earning. The difference is huge. So, is our economy in trouble? Do we have inflation or do we have deflation? And how can our standard of living stay this good when we have the problems on the horizon that there are? We have United States credit card debt. It continues to increase. Americans seem to be living beyond their means. And it seems house prices are beginning to decline now, and medical costs are going up. The house decline is what triggered the last difficulty in the United States in 2007-08. So, what is the economy doing? Is it now declining? Well, a lot of the big money people think so. The ones who are in charge of big money funds, they are taking their money out of the United States. Often enough, they put their money funds into the Orient, like China. Yep, it hurts to say this because we want our own country to be great, but we can't do it without the resources, and we need capital in our country to make things work and flow well. So it's just an unfortunate thing that the money is leaving the country. But it's still something we can be aware of, because we should be aware of what's going on, and that way we have a chance to recognize it and to do something about it. Money is getting spent still, and we are in debt. Now, do you remember about 7 years ago we spent $800 billion on a plan to stimulate the economy? Well, it wasn't a real plan, and it really didn't work so well, but that $800 billion got spent. So, I wish we had a plan. China has a plan, and it's called the Belt and the Road. The belt restricts, and the road is for business or commerce. Anyway, that's my observation of why it's called that. Should we join their plan? A lot of people think we should. Or should we start our own United States plan? There's a few people who think that too. Well, I don't know. But I am afraid of all the debt that our country has on every level. We have social programs that are just very expensive. And the choices that we are making are limiting what we can do in the future. You see, we're basically, the United States is broke with our $20 trillion deficit. So I am concerned for our country, our economy, and how each one of us are going to do through whatever is coming up. And especially if we don't have a Christian relationship with God, without our Christian morality all throughout society, well, it just doesn't look good to me. We have to have that relationship with God. Because in the past, we've seen how immoral behavior has flourished at the top levels of our government for way too long. And if we have immoral behavior, it kind of goes throughout society. It's not a good thing. So, I am concerned for our country. I am concerned for the people in it, of course. America. America has promoted democracy around the world. And you see what it's gotten us? I don't know that I would say it was good, but you just have to realize that we're not a democracy. We are a republic. And the republic means that there are guaranteed rights. In a democracy, everything is by vote. Everything is determined by whatever the vote is. And so, therefore, the wolves can vote to eat that lone sheep for dinner. And it's okay, because that's what the democracy votes say. But in a republic, the sheep and the wolves have rights. So it's just, oh, it's interesting. Our country has enabled other nations worldwide to change their governments into democracies. And that has made a certain instability throughout the systems. We look at Egypt, we look at Libya, we look at the Ukraine, Syria, Somalia. Sure, the will of the people is important to look at, but it just, it's not the basis of a government. Why, if it were, do you think that we could have a state of Jefferson in Northern California and Southern Oregon? After all, isn't that the will of the people? Good question. But it's just one of those issues that we're going to have to examine and come to a decision on. In politics, we see all sorts of things going on. As I said earlier, we've got immorality going on. And we look at the Democratic National Committee and how it accepted $12 million from Hillary Clinton. And she apparently manipulated the nomination for president so that she got it and not Bernie Sanders. So it's just a question. It's something we have to look at real closely. Do we want morality in our country, or do we want power to dominate? Oh, how is our American political system doing? I don't know. It's a big question. You see, if we don't have God and if we don't have morality in the middle of it, well, it can't turn out well. And so, yeah, I'm worried. I'm concerned. And we should watch the things around us and have a reaction to them. Be concerned. Communicate with people. Yeah, did you hear that that Russia helped Syria and now they have practically driven out Islamic State or ISIS or IS, the Islamic State, from Syria? They'll do that by the end of the year. And here the United States was unable to do that for how many years? I don't know, but it's just interesting. Well, we apparently have now found records that show that the Islamic State in Syria was the one who did the chemical attack and not the Syrian government. So the one that released chemical gas on the Syrian people and killed, what was it, about 80 people? So, well, it's just we had better be careful. We, the United States, must have our situations good. It was not a good thing, I don't think, that we bombed the airport with cruise missiles in Syria. I think the United States has its forces in too many countries. We should not get involved in so many jurisdictions of other nations. It's just not a proper spiritual mix. And besides, it's very, very expensive. And we're $20 trillion in debt. Yeah, basically we're bankrupt. You know that. It's a good question. I remember in the late 1990s, the United States was valued at $14 trillion. And then there was another report that came out about 2004, and they increased the value to $19 or $20 trillion of the entire United States. Now, there's one that was kind of famous about 10 years ago because that gave the United States a total and combined net worth of $200 trillion, $200 trillion. But I did look at that study, and I find a little bit of fault with it. I thought it was done improperly. That besides that, the cost that they used for our cars and our bicycles and everything else that was in our homes had a certain value, but that value was closer to what the things cost than the actual cash value. So to me, that study was unfortunate and inaccurate, very inaccurate. So $200 trillion, no, I don't believe it. However you want to look at it, we are in debt, and it's a problem. Perhaps the most important part of our nation's health is that our federal government last year paid $266 billion in interest. Huh, $266 billion in interest only. That money could have been spent to benefit the people of the United States instead of the bankers. Federal, state, and local governments have spent us into a difficult position, and remember, they act as our representatives. So we owe the money, not the government. We, the people, owe the money. And how can I not think back to Genesis chapter 47? How the Egyptians lost their land to Pharaoh and became slaves in exchange for food. Yep, Genesis 47. I hope that that history doesn't repeat, but it's possible that it would. There are people who say that will not happen here. Certainly, lots of people say, oh no, it could not happen to us. But we should look at the historical patterns and realize that historical patterns do often repeat themselves. It certainly is a question. And I do want to live my life as a free person and not as a slave. So I think we all had better be careful to not live beyond our means and to not get into debt. Any debt that you have, pay it off. And that's getting harder and harder to do because of inflation and the things that we want to spend our money on every day. It's just normal living. That's what we want to spend our money on, but if we do that, we can't get out of debt. I remember my dad's Social Security check in about 1970. It was right close to $400. I kind of forgot the exact number right now, but $400 a month. At that time, $400 was a noticeable help. But today, $400 does not go very far. I just say that to point out that we are having inflation. I just saw a financial show, and they talked about what was the average national salary. And so in 1972, it was $7,100. In 1997, it was $47,000. And in 2017, it was $48,000. So again, 1992, $7,100. 1997, $27,000. 2017, $48,000. Doesn't that sound like inflation? It sure does. And I wonder, who is actually earning that much money? I don't know anybody who earns that, hardly anybody, who earns that kind of salary. And so maybe these amounts are for government workers. I just don't know. But I know that the people I talk to don't have anything like that for income annually. So the big thing I think to take from this is you can see how inflation is putting a lot of people into poverty. And you can see how we have a sense that our national debt is going to be very painful to pay back. And you just remember that bankers always find a way to get their money back. Bankers will always find a way to get their money back. So what does tomorrow hold in light of this? Well, I see possibilities. They don't look so good. It kind of looks like a depression. Recession that turns into a depression. Whether I'm right or wrong about this, I don't know. But I think it's a reasonable position. So it supports having your assets in your actual physical possession, at least some of them. Because if it's on paper, you don't possess it. It's on a piece of paper. It's in a fund. So somehow you'll have to make a balance of that position and figure it out. What applies to your life and how you want your assets to be in your control. I always think about your basic life needs, and that includes the basic food and basic supplies. I think of having plain foods, basic foods, and that keeps the cost down, and it also keeps you less likely to eat up your just-in-case food supplies. Because if they're really, really good, you will want to eat them. So, well, it's a question for you to figure it out. You do get to figure it out. So I do remind you, for whatever you're thinking about your emergency situations, that you come up with a written plan. Definitely a written plan. Doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be anything. Just have a written plan. And that way you won't get too much of one thing and not enough of another. Besides, you will have comfort in your written plan to allow it to stretch out over time so that you can fulfill your plan. Remember how I say, think, plan, and do? That's so important. Think, plan, and do. Take steps now. If there is an EMP, that is the electromagnetic pulse that would come from a nuclear bomb, or if there's a CME, which is a coronal mass ejection from our sun. Either way, it'll knock our electricity out. So there's possibilities of just difficulties coming. So I think, look at what you would want to prepare. You, if that event comes along, you won't have a chance to go to the store. You won't have a chance to do anything. It'll be impossible to search for food unless you're looking at the leaves on the trees right next door. If it happens, it'll be very difficult, and you can figure that you're going to be walking home and not driving home. Well, whatever happens, I really don't know. Is it true or not? No, I don't even know that. But I listen to people who are educated about this, and this is the kind of things they talk about. So I kind of remind you, what kind of trouble are you ready to look at? There is the possibility of us having trouble with our financial system. You know, that means a collapse. It's happened in other countries. Don't be surprised if it happens here. It's not that unusual. Inflation of the U.S. dollar has been going on for decades, really for 100 years, since Congress gave up its rightful congressional authority over the United States dollar. And Congress gave that authority to the central bank, which is called the Federal Reserve. That was in 1913. Since that time, there's been huge inflation. Huge, huge. Because they print more and more dollars. And when they print more and more dollars, each dollar has less and less value. It's a principle. The more of something you have, the less is each one's value. And then, since 2008, the Federal Reserve has continued to create dollars, both printing and electronically. For a long time, I used that figure of four times as many dollars are in existence today than in 2008. I heard another commentator say there was now six times as many dollars in existence than there were in 2008. I have to say I don't know the answer for sure, but I can say there is a trend here, and I think it only does us good to look and see what we can do to protect ourselves from vast inflation going on. And effectively, it means a collapse. So just give it some thought. Think about what if, and then decide on several plans of action. If there is a collapse, a financial collapse, it goes really slow until it goes fast. And the timing of it all is something I don't think us ordinary people can figure out. Maybe not even the big financial people can figure it out. But it goes slow until it goes fast. And of course, that fast part is what I'm concerned about. And I want to tell you about my concerns so that you have a chance to do something about it also. Financial collapses have happened all through history. Basically, every money that has ever been in existence has collapsed. Unless it was based on a physical metal. In other words, if it was really silver and gold, then it didn't collapse. But if it just was based on printing of money, yeah, they've all collapsed over and over and over again. So, we should put that into our consideration and think about it. Think about what the possibilities are and eliminate all the personal debt which we possibly can. Yes, indeed. Recoveries can be very slow. And here's a story about a recovery. In 1928, my dad, he got a sales pitch from a banker, and he bought stocks from that bank, which became the Bank of America, in 1928. And instead of the stock going up, the stock dropped and dropped and dropped and dropped over the next several years, which were depression years, yeah. So by the time the stock increased enough to the point where he bought it, it was 1952. So 1928 to 1952 until you got your money back. Well, all I can say is pay attention. These things illustrate that recoveries can take a very long time. So in light of knowing that, you make sensible decisions and you see what it is that you can do that's sensible with the just maybes and what ifs, and just consider things. Nobody wants to have their complete assets lost. Well, we've worked a long time to get them, and inflation takes them away, and so do poor judgments. So we do see patterns in history, and those patterns are included in the recent years. We can see that there are people who are called rulers or who are rulers, and once they look at a certain area, they have answers and they create a problem or they solve a problem. That's just one of the things that have happened with economy and with conflicts and wars. People who understand this principle are at work today, and so they have a problem and they have a solution. And that's a part of why I certainly entertain that we could be entering a time of war. Those kind of rumors have been around for a few years now, and we don't necessarily know the perfect timing of it, but we can see the direction. We can see the trend. And so the idea is just to be prepared for some pretty serious things happening. Well, another thing I think about, I'm not through investigating it, but I've been hearing over the years that I have personal experience with vaccinations, and then I've been hearing things over the years by doctors and researchers, because almost every vaccine has thimerosal in it, and thimerosal is mercury. It is put into the vaccinations as a preservative. And it may well be a preservative, but I have to ask, why would anybody want to inject even a very small of mercury, amount of mercury, into a baby or a child or even you? Mercury is not good for people, and it goes past the blood-brain barrier and it goes directly into your internal systems. So over the years, the vaccine makers have a few times announced with big announcements that they were removing mercury or thimerosal from their vaccinations. And then after months or years, the product safety sheets that comes with each bottle of the vaccination show that they have quietly put that thimerosal mercury back into their injections. So there's things going on. I do have strong suspicions that there is a strong link between vaccinations and autism. And autism has only increased in the United States. It has increased more and more and more. And it affects boys more than it affects girls. It's been estimated that in 10 years, the last 10 years, the autism rate has increased from 1 in 110 boys to 1 in 60 boys that have autism. That sure takes away from the productivity of a nation. So there's medical workers who have speculated that when the medical, no, not the medical, the multi-dose vaccine containers that they get were not shaken up properly to dilute the mercury or thimerosal in that container. And so a larger dose of thimerosal or mercury is given to somebody who's vaccinated. That's speculation. But people are looking for answers, and people are trying to figure this out. Why is the rate of autism so high in our country? So it's ideas. We have to look at ideas and try to understand why these things are happening. You see, there has been a history of vaccine contamination. We don't know if it's intentional or unintentional. Of course, everybody says it's unintentional. But I wonder, how can this happen when you have a closed environment that vaccinations are made in? So there's other sides of it. There's another part of this argument. Like in 1995, the United Nations, their World Health Organization, they had literature that they were saying that they had a vaccination program which the purpose was to eliminate smallpox and to reduce the population by 50, no, by reduce the population by 150 million excess, that's what they said, excess sub-Saharan Africans. So how did they put that together? I don't know, but I know that it was the case, that their literature said that. I kind of wonder if it wasn't for children before they were born. At any rate, there's another little surprise about vaccine contamination, and this one was in 1995 when the Philippine High Court convicted the United Nations, their World Health Organization, and the United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund. And what it was about was the United Nations programs targeted women between the ages of 15 and 45 to accept a tetanus. Yes, I said tetanus vaccination. So then somebody suspected something, and they got a number of new multi-dose vaccination containers from that program, and they had them tested by a number of different chemical testing laboratories. And the results showed that these containers each also had in it the HGC hormone. Now, when a woman's body senses an abnormal hormone in her body, the woman recognizes this to be a pregnancy. And so she is sensing that she is pregnant. The woman's body stops dropping eggs for reproduction. The effect of this is that the woman cannot get pregnant because her eggs are not dropping. So do you understand this means she cannot bear children? She has been sterilized at least for a few years. Now, a lot of the people still, after some years, had their bodies normalized, and eventually they were again able to have children. But it wasn't for sure. So this was a United Nations program that affected 3 million women. 3 million women from the Philippines. And it was also in place in Mexico and Nicaragua, besides the Philippines. So there's things that are going on. What are they? I don't know, but it's a it's something not good. Well, I remember a few years back there was a UNICEF program, United Nations program, to eradicate polio in India. And after a couple of years, India discovered that there were an abnormally large number of young people, often teenagers, who were suffering from major paralysis. And the common vector that they found was that these cases had recently had a polio vaccination. India told the UN that they wanted the program to stop. And then the UN told India that if the program stopped, India would not get its major redevelopment money. So the redevelopment money came in and the vaccination program continued. And India was declared polio-free in 2012. But I think there's a question of what the human cost was here. And it's not that I know the answers. I don't. But there's problems, and there's things that just don't add up to what happens and why it happens. I know I remember recently, about a year ago, there was a videotape of Bill Gates of the Microsoft computer fame, and he was promoting his humanitarian worldwide vaccination program. And he was saying how effective it is. And he obviously made an accidental slip-up when he connected the vaccine program with population reduction. No doubt an accident, but, you know, you hear these things over time and you just kind of wonder. So when we're looking at evidence, please consider who is promoting what, how connections are made, and who says what. People with money and influence can access the mainstream media, as well as the government and as well as the schools. And so we get told a story, and what's true and what isn't true? Good question. I can't tell you. I know I haven't done the research, but I've listened to researchers, and so I've become quite suspicious. It's not easy to find out the real truth of things, that's for sure. But I think it's reasonable to hear both sides of an argument about vaccinations, why they're good, why they're bad. And I have heard, well, I did have a personal experience with them too, which I did not like one bit. And I've listened to presentations by medical doctors and by researchers who do bring up the questions about vaccinations, if they're good and pure. Well, they have problems. They have problems. And there's a Dr. Tenpenny who has been on the radio 3 or 4 times. I've listened to her testimonial program and reasoning. All good questions. So sure, I'm sure vaccinations can be beneficial. I'm sure they are. But I have a hard time with the concept that a baby born today is required to get over 50 vaccinations for school before they're age 18 or 20. That is a lot of thimerosal mercury put into each child, and a lot of who knows what. Who knows what? There's other example of contaminated vaccines besides these. And you do have to wonder, how can a closed laboratory have any contamination at all? I mean, a closed laboratory is a closed laboratory, isn't it? So how come they get contamination? I don't know. But we hear different things, and I know it was about 10 years ago that I heard a researcher who told me it was almost for sure that the polio vaccination, which I got in the 1960s, is using the same green monkey liver cells to grow the attenuated, which is weakened, polio cells. I thought that was interesting. The very same monkey liver cells. I don't know. It just struck me. How can they be using the same green monkey liver cells to grow and to feed and cultivate that vaccination media? Well, apparently they do. So I think that all of us should search out this and find out the truth. I have ideas, I hear things, and I try to put things together. But that doesn't mean I know. I look more than most people, I know that. But it's up to each one of us to see. And I sure don't like all those vaccinations going into our children. Yeah, a few days ago I had another thought. Now, this was a thought. It's not anything that I am advocating or promoting or anything else, but it was just a funny thought to me. When I thought of Genesis 6, how it says Noah was perfect in his generations, and that means his genes were all fully human. And I thought about this, and I had to think, here's a different idea. Now, if we think about the vaccinations we're getting, and they are combined with monkey viruses or monkey cells, what does that mean? It kind of made me recall what some commentators are saying, because they relate the giants in those days as being oversexed and so contaminating the human gene pool. So there was intermixing on every level. And the situation was so bad that God had to bring the flood to stop humanity, or to keep humanity, to be in a position where it was redeemable by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Now, like I said, this is just one of my thinkings. It doesn't mean I'm advocating it, but it's kind of interesting. It's a weird thought, I know. So, the gene pool, if it's so mixed up in Noah's day, is there a problem with mixing up our gene pool today? It's not that I know the answer. It's just interesting. Interesting. Is there a theme here? Will the situation be repeated? So is your DNA getting contaminated with animal DNA by the vaccinations that we are required to take? I don't know. I know it was about 1970 that I first heard of SV40, simian virus 40. It was the 40th one that was discovered. And it was recognized at that time as a possible cancer promoter. So if we get monkey viruses into our bodies through vaccinations, it just makes me wonder. SV40, interesting. So I would not call that a mark of the monkey, mark of the beast called a monkey. No, this is joking. I hope. But it's my sense of humor, and I hope you can just share it with me. So, I don't know the full story of this. I certainly don't. But when we hear things over time, we tend to give them a little bit of credit, and that's what I mean to do. I know that I don't ever want to get vaccinated again, ever. Absolutely not. No matter what, no vaccinations for me. I have come to that conclusion. Because we want pure and clean. That's what we want in our life. We want to have pure and clean in our life. And that includes food. We want to have our food be the good building blocks for repairing our body and for keeping us healthy. So GMO foods, that's altered DNA structure. And there's a couple of studies that have shown that mice, there's been other animals too that they've fed GMO food exclusively. And there has been an observation that these mice or cattle or other animals were unable to produce viable young. In other words, even if they did have a pregnancy the young baby animal died. So I just wondered, what does that mean? What does that mean? I find it hard to believe that these things are really the way they are. And certainly we keep looking for more and more information. But if nobody tells you about what these ideas are, then we just don't know them. We're not exposed to them. And I think it's a reasonable thing to consider about if there is a problem with them. So, yeah, look, give it some consideration. We are not supposed to be ignorant. No, we're supposed to look and examine and find out what the truth is, even if it's shocking, even if it's not what the news people say. We just want to have more information. Yeah, speaking of news, I know there's lots of news we get, and I also was talking to someone about current events a few weeks ago, and they said, oh, they don't listen to the news anymore. They don't look at it. They don't look at it or listen to it. I was kind of surprised, but as I thought about it, I thought, well, in a way, who can blame them? Because we've had disappointment with the media for a long time. I think back to the 1970s. I went to quite a few city council meetings here and there in the Bay Area, and I would read the newspaper accounts of what happened at those meetings. And the stories in the newspapers always emphasized the wrong emphasis of the meeting. It was always inaccurate. It was always improper reporting. So is that going on today? Well, it sure could be. That was a lot of years ago, and they were doing it then, so they're probably still doing it. I know I've traveled from state to state and even country to country in my earlier days, and I could find out that there was something that happened, maybe an event, maybe a situation, and I knew that it was not reported accurately from one country to the next. Whether it was about this country or about that other country. So I have to look at what can anybody do? Obviously, the news reports are not completely accurate. And I think that we have to look at that. And we have to look at it and see what is human nature. And then consider why the story might be wrong or different. And try to make sense of it, because really, the news is our biggest information for gathering what's going on around us. So yeah, have a look at all these things, but then consider what the facts are as we can best understand them. We have to remember that there is a spiritual battle going on here, and that there is a thief who wants to steal, kill, and destroy us. And I think that we have to remember that this is a spiritual battle. We can fight and we can win, but not by our own strength, but by the strength of Jesus. That's how we can fight this battle. I remember David and Goliath in Samuel 1, 1 Samuel 17. And David's strength was God. Goliath cursed David and said, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a shield." But then David says that he's come in the name of the Lord, and that the Lord will deliver him into his hand. And that's what happened. The Lord delivered Goliath into David's hands. So if we look back today at what's been going on, we can see all sorts of wonderful things, and we can't close our eyes to the war that there is upon humans and humanity. I know I was in my 30s before I even considered this concept that maybe there is a war against us, humanity. And I think that there is something to it. If you look at the last 5 years, I think there's some evidence of that. But I remember, I should have said it this way, that I remember 5 years of having, it took me 5 years of considering that there could be a real war against me and other humans, humanity. And then I finally came around and I could see the point of it, and I believed it. It was a hard realization. We are in a battle. And for that battle, what do we want to do? We want to choose Jesus Christ. It is eternal life through Jesus Christ. I know there's a lot of things going on around us, and I know, well, we can look way back to John F. Kennedy. I know because we've got those papers coming out at this time, and we can see that by what's going on with John F. Kennedy and Sandy Hook and the Las Vegas concert, they have something in common, and that is people show up dead who should be alive, and people who are alive should be dead. It's just a very puzzling thing. I don't know the answers, but I can tell you, we had sure better be careful about how we examine what's going on around us. We want to pay attention that in these days, just like Isaiah 5 said, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. So, yeah, you have to just remember these things. And what's going on today? I don't know, but I think of Genesis 6 as being a sincere possibility there about what is coming. I say prepare for surprises because we sure don't know. I know we want to be aware of what's going on around us so that we can protect ourselves. And like I always say, stay as healthy and clean as you can. Oh, I had a really funny thing happen to me a week ago. One week ago, I had a package come in the mail. Now, you have to know that I have never had any improper activity in my whole life. I have been squeaky clean. Just squeaky clean. I've never used an illegal drug. Never, ever. And I've never had gang activity. I've never had any intentions at all to end my life. None whatsoever. And then last week, I kind of thought about what happened, because I got a package in the mail. It had a pound of very well-sealed marijuana in it. And that was a very peculiar thing. I thought, why would anybody send me, with my correct name on it and everything, a pound of marijuana so well sealed that it wouldn't have any odors from it? And I can only say that it made me wonder. Like I said, I didn't even know for sure that's what it was, except I've read about the cases where people put marijuana into plastic to protect it from smell. So anyway, I wondered. Oh, so I want to thank you listeners in advance for sending any prayers my way, because with a situation like that, I just wondered what's going on. And there was no postmarks on it or anything. It was just a package. It was really odd. But we are all under attack in these days. Every one of us, if we are a Christian, we are under attack. So I want to thank you for listening today. I invite you to listen to the past broadcasts. I kind of like them. And especially if you're listening to the preparedness ones, go back to January and February of this year. Click on ChristToday.org. And it is all lowercase with no spaces. And if you don't do it that way, you get a different Christ Today website. Of course, you can write me. That's fine, too, at John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And I send out my free preparedness brochure. Thank you for listening, and may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Thank you. Until next week.